thing that you can do is start early on. Early on, as quick as you can, deciding that you're going to put aside and put to death everything in your life that might make you devourable. For some, it might be money. For others, it might be poverty. For others, it might be their emotions and their destruction of reasonings. But whatever it is, it might be lust. But whatever it is, you need to make a decision at some point that you're not going to be one that He devours, that He destroys. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that this week, kind of taking a step in that direction. Some of them at the prayer center, they don't like to see me coming because they're afraid that they're going to get a message on fasting whenever they see me coming, you know. And I wonder myself, you know, when somebody calls you up and says, would you come to my church and preach and teach? Well, of course, you know, I'll come to your church. Well, do you think that God would let you teach on fasting while you're here? Well, yeah, I guess, you know, he would. I'm sure He would do that. You know, I'm just amazed that probably the only time it'll ever happen in 50 years that a pastor calls me up and says, will you preach and teach on fasting? Will you come down and tell my people that they can't eat anymore? Especially on a day like today, with that aroma floating up this way. Will you come down and tell my people that they have to die? You know, it probably was another 50 years ago by before anybody calls like that. It's not a favorite message in the body of Christ. In fact, about a year ago, in July, I was in a meeting in Missouri, and was sitting in the back getting ready to go into service, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, when are you going to start preaching and teaching on that message and fasting that I gave you? Because if you don't start preaching and teaching on it, I'm going to have to find somebody else. Well, you know, I took that as from the Lord. I've never had the devil to come to me and tell me to preach and teach on fasting. You know, he just doesn't do things like that, you know. He might come and tell you that it's all right, eat all you can. But I had to listen, so I had to go back and really reevaluate, because that was not the first time that he told me that he wanted to get that message across. And he said, I'm going to teach you some more things in my word about why you should be doing it, that you need to convey to the people. So right then I began relentlessly going into some groups. It wasn't, you know, some people think, especially at the prayer center, that they made the only thing he can teach on is fasting. I can teach on prayer. I was taught by the best to teach on prayer, believe me. I can do that too, and I can teach on confession. Oh my, worship. I love worship. I love worship. But some of them, they think I can only teach on fasting, but it's because after he spoke to me, I knew that I had to go in relentlessly and begin to plant that message back in. Because everything in the Word of God is given for a reason. And it's usually to bring you into the fullness of Him, everything that He has for you to become everything that He wants you to be. And why would you want to just take one thing like prayer? You know, and prayer is the main thing, because that's communion with God. You know, that's a main part of the Word of God is prayer, especially praying in unknown tongues, believe it or not. Tongues of edification, that's a main prayer in the New Testament. But why would you want to take one thing in the Word of God and shortchange yourself from the rest of what God has? Find out when you get to heaven that you could have had about 10 times more than what you actually walked in. See, I want all of God, and I've always been that way. Even before I was born again, I spent 20 years in the real estate business full time in the real estate business, and I always went at it. Everything that I had, 7 days a week, whatever it took, late nights. And so whenever I got saved, that part of me, there was two things that carried over whenever I got saved. Well, there was other things. But let's just say two positive things that don't really look positive on the surface, but they are. One of them was a stubborn streak about 10 miles wide. You know, stubborn is bad unless it's turned toward God in the right direction, the way God wants it, and then it becomes a good thing. The other thing was that everything that I went after, I went after it full steam, full blown, and it was the same way. I wanted all of God that I could get. I just couldn't find too many people that could tell me how I could get more of Him. They could tell me what I needed to be. They could tell me that I needed to be at peace with myself and in my family, that I needed to have the fruits of love, you know, operating in my life. And, you know, the gifts kicked in right away. I mean, from the first night that I was born again, Jesus walked into my room and touched me. And so after that, the miracles began to flow. But they would tell me, they would say, you need to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. And I would say, well, you know, that's good. I see where it's at in Galatians, you know, and I know what joy and peace and love, I know that I need to be in those things. But could you tell me how? Could you tell me how to get there? See, I don't think that an evangelist, even an evangelist, should blow into a church like this and say, you ought to do this and you ought to do that, and not be able to tell you how to get there. Usually, if they tell you how what you should be, but they can't tell you how to get there, it's because they don't know how themselves. Now, well, you'll have to understand, I have a good time in these services, and you can have sour grapes or you can have new wine and have a good time. But one thing that I do, my ministry, I feel this is God. I don't think it's me. One thing that He wants is, as I lay it on the line where the rubber meets the road, bluntly, I don't cut any, you know, if you wanted a little sermon, you know, that sounded good, felt good, there's only a million other evangelists you can get in. You know, he would have his choice. You know, he's heard my tapes. He knows what to expect. So I feel freedom. But I wanted everything I could get. But one thing, whenever I'd go to him and say, well, could you tell me how I could get these things? Well, I drew blanks. You know, they really couldn't tell me. Well, you know, you just need more of God. Well, tell me how to get more of God. You know. But then I had a pastor friend. Grand Prairie, Texas. He's no longer there. He's in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Ed Dufresne's brother-in-law, David Chapman, he boxed up all of Dave Roberson's tapes and sent them to me the time I was in Stillwater. He sent all those tapes to me. And so then I finally found here was a person that could tell me how I could go farther into God, intentionally, on purpose, because I wanted to. Because I wanted more of God. No more accidents. No more accidentally stepping into God. But because I wanted to, I could take some things in the Word of God and begin to walk in. Walk in on purpose. And that's what we're going to do, is we're going to take another step this week. Walking deeper into that personal relationship with Him. Because personal relationship is everything with God. Everything that you could ever talk about. If you want to talk to me about faith, I'll talk to you about faith, but it'll all go back to personal relationship. If you want to talk to me about the anointing and about the ministry gifts or about the ministry, it'll all go back into personal relationship. I show you a more excellent way, this thing called love, and then the Holy Spirit bringing that love forth. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. My, I enjoyed that worship. Something else. Hallelujah, Jesus. Romans chapter 12. Tell you what, before I get too far out there, because I forget everything, my name, your name. Back in the back there in the tape room, we have a list that you can sign up if you want to become a monthly, get on our monthly partner list where we send out a tape free of charge each month. If you want to sign up, just be sure and print your name and address where my wife can read it. That's the only requirement. The other requirement is whenever you get the tape that month, go and copy it and give it to two or three friends. Because all those tapes and everything, I don't feel like you should preach a sermon just to be preaching a sermon. They're to help people. The Word of God is to help people. It's for our profit. And so anyhow, that's back there. Also, we have some tapes back there. This one here is Lord Help Me Deliver the Goods. And that's going into that special place in Him that whenever the time comes that your family, your wife, your husband, your family, your relatives, your enemies, whenever they need the goods, that you're in the position. You're in the position to get it, to be able to deliver it to them when somebody else can't. You can. Also back there is there's a single tape back there. I've been getting a lot of requests for this lately. Actually, I felt like it was kind of funny myself. When I preached it, I really had a good time, you know. Some messages, it seems like that he just pulls me in there dead serious, and usually he's going after something. Then other times, it's just, you know, it just seems like it doesn't matter what I preach. It's just funny. You know, so this was kind of one of those. It's about speaking to your mountain. And if you believe in your heart and doubt not, your mountain will be removed whenever you speak to it. But then how many have spoke to the mountain and not only did it not remove, but it talked back? I mean, my goodness, about everybody in here can relate to that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Then this other one here, stopping the thief from devouring you. There's one thing I don't want to be is devourable. I don't want that rat to come in and steal anything from me. He stole enough in the past. And anything I can do in the future to limit him coming in, to stop him from coming in and stealing from me, my family, my enemies, I don't care. You might as well accept that God loves your enemies just as much as he loves you. He died for them too, just like he died for you. I don't know whether I want to accept that or not. Well, you might as well. Start right now. It'll change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Also back there is a couple of sets how to get the fullness of God, called and equipped to increase the kingdom of God. I believe that how to get the fullness of God was when I preached that at the prayer center and probably talked a little bit about fasting there. Kind of got some booze and this and that. No, not really. Anyhow, Romans chapter 12. I talk a lot about the prayer center. I love the prayer center. I'm glad that I'm out of there, although I don't get to spend much time there, it seems like, these days. But what I enjoy most is seeing wannabe preachers and teachers and evangelists come in and find out that they actually weren't called to that. It's one thing I'd want to do is find out my calling in the body of Christ. I don't think it would be a good idea these days, as time is drawing near, to be stumbling around, not knowing where I was called. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul was saying this. He said, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy." And he goes on and he talks about, while you're at it, by the way, while you're at it, walking in this grace and this measure of faith that's been given to you, while you're walking that out, walking yourself into that place in the body of Christ, while you're at it, be sure and do the work of the ministry. In other words, don't be lazy. Don't say, "Well, I'm just called here to Covenant Worship Center just to pray, so leave me alone. I'm just going to pray, you know, and not be any good to the body of Christ." You may be called to that area of prayer that you give your life to prayer, but there's also that work of the ministry, and it is not to be lazy. And he's talking about that. And the reason I brought that up is because we're going to be crossing that road a few times before this is over. Talking about changing your life, changing where you're at just because you don't like it. I had a lady come to me the other day. Well, actually, they joined up with the ministry. This couple joined up with the ministry several months ago. And I didn't know at the time till after they joined up, to be quite honest. I just knew that God spoke to me and told me that they would be joining up with the ministry and they'd receive them. And so they waited 2 months after God spoke to them, finally came to me and said, "We're supposed to give our lives to the ministry. And we don't know for how long, but we feel like it could be maybe forever. We're not real sure." And so I said, "Okay, come on." So right away, one morning, about 5:30, now I say it was 5:30. She says it was 6:30, but anyhow, it felt like 5:30. She called me up. She said, I have this thing in my life that I just have to get out of. I've put up with it all these years. And I've got to get it out of my life. See, He's into changing you. God is into changing. You know, those that come to you and they say, well, you're just going to have to accept me like I am. This is the way I am. Well, that's not God speaking. Because, see, God is a changing God. He wants to change you and bring you into more into the image of Christ. And she called me up this one morning and she said, I can't stand what I've had for several years, as long as I can remember. She said, this anger has consumed me. I've got to have an answer. Would you tell me what to do? I said, well, I said, I'll tell you what to do, but I don't really want to waste my time, especially at 5:30 in the morning. I just went to bed about an hour ago. And I really don't want to waste my time unless you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. She said, I will. She said, you know, I told you, you know, that we submit ourselves under the ministry. We submit ourselves under you. And, you know, when you submit yourself to this church or to this pastor, do you know it's not with just words? When you do that, what you're saying is that you're opening yourself up for ordinarily, usually, when God tells someone to submit themselves, it's not all right the way you are. It's not all right the way you are. You might think it's all right. But if He is telling you to submit yourself to something, He's expecting change and wanting change. And you say, well, where's the grace at? Well, I'll bring you into that. Don't worry. And if I don't, another preacher will come along and preach grace to you. Don't worry about it. We'll get there. She said, well, you know, we submitted ourselves to you, so whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I said, you got one or two things you could do. I said, everything you've tried so far hasn't worked. So I said, You can do some serious fasting for the next week. You can take 3 days on fasting, a couple days off, and do that continually for the next couple months. Or if you dislike what's in your life bad enough, you can just go after it and go for a long fast. I said, what'll happen is that thing that's deep-rooted in you will probably end up coming out screaming without anybody laying hands on you. I said, if you want it bad enough, I said, that's what it's going to take. It's something to boost what you're already doing. Well, praise God, she completed that 40-day fast last week. Just anchored into me that they were actually there, because I've had a lot of people to come and say, we're going to join up with you. We're going to be there forever. 2 days later, you can't find them. Or they call you up and say, hello? What? Hello? This is such and such. I need help! Time after time, I've seen them join up because they like the meetings, you know, and the flow of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness, I want to join up with you, whatever I can do. A week later, I can't find them. God changed His mind. I've never seen God change His mind so much as I did the first 3 years of the ministry. My goodness, I thought He was the God that changes not. It seemed like every time I turned around, I heard the same answer. I feel like God changed His mind or something. I said, no, that's you and the devil. The devil changed his mind. He decided he didn't want you. So it really, really anchored them in with me, because I thought, my goodness, it didn't take long for me to rub off on them, you know, 40 days of fasting, you know. Anyhow, so Paul is talking about here, he says, regardless what your place is in the body of Christ, where you join together, what that function is, it's by that grace that's been delivered to you and that measure of faith for you to complete this. And so a lot of them will say, well, okay, then my calling is by grace, and it is. And they'll say, what I do is by grace. The things in my life, that the grace of God covers it. And that I'm going to be able to fulfill this because that measure of faith has been delivered unto me to fulfill that calling. Well, if that was totally the case, if we just totally looked at it that way and said, okay, I'm going to sit down in this chair and the grace of God is going to deliver me to my calling and to the plan of God in my life, and this measure of faith is going to cause me to walk through this calling and be able to fulfill God's plan. If that was it and I just sit down and say, okay, the grace covers it, then everybody in the United States that's a born-again Christian would be fulfilling their place in the body of Christ, even if they're not doing anything. So see, that just don't make sense to me. You know, so there's got to be just a little bit more to it. There's got to be something that in addition to that, yes, the grace of God is there, and it is by His grace that I am called. It is by His grace that I will fulfill the calling. It's that measure of faith that's been delivered to me. But let me ask you something. Just how do I get this grace that's been delivered to me activated in my life? Even though it's there, is it activated in your life? By His grace. He took on your poverty, gave back to you the riches in heaven. Jesus said, in the world there's tribulations, but I've overcome the world. Take on my peace. There's another positional standing. By the grace of God, He took on your yoke, gave back His yoke. He said, enter into my rest, enter into the Sabbath, which wasn't Sunday, by the way. It was when you got born again, you entered into the Sabbath, entered into His rest. But yet how many have woke up not in rest or went to bed at night not in rest in Him, not in peace in Him? So I thought, well, there's got to be more to it than this, because the grace of God had been delivered. You know, it's a free gift. You know, this calling, I didn't choose myself. He chose me. I can't even unchoose myself. In those days, whenever the enemy would come and meet me at 71st and Riverside, when I come in from a meeting, he would meet me there every time and try to talk me out of my calling. I know the exact spot. For 3 years, every time I would come from a meeting, he would meet me at that place and try to talk me. You're not going to do any good at this. You don't have nothing to tell these people. You can't help these people. Why don't you just quit and go back to business? That's like whenever you begin praying a lot or whenever you begin fasting, he'll tell you to go back to prayer. That's the only time the devil will encourage you to prayer is when you start fasting a little bit. Start doing something to increase that in your life. He'll come to you and tell you to go back doing something else. But he would meet me there. And so I thought, well, you know, there's got to be more to it than this. I know that he delivered this call to me. I didn't choose myself. He chose me. I didn't choose me. I can't even quit if I wanted to. Pastor LaRue, he can't quit even if he wants to. He didn't choose himself. How can he unchoose himself if he didn't choose himself? If he didn't appoint himself, how can he unappoint himself? So boy, the devil will make you think you got a choosing in the matter. But Paul said, by this grace that's been delivered to me, by this grace and this measure of faith that's been delivered to us all, every person in this room has a calling in the body of Christ. You may not be called behind the pulpit to preach that like I'm called. Now, every one of you, I'll tell you right now, every one of you are called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you may not be called behind the pulpit in the fivefold, but every person in this room, bar none, are called a part of the body of Christ. And if I would want to do one thing, and I feel like if this is a church that feels the same way that I do, that they would want to find their part, their place in the body of Christ, and not only find it, but fulfill it to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ would want them to. See, I feel like that I feel a lot of freedom in this place, that this is a body here that wants everything they can get from God. So get ready. We're going to die a little bit this week. But let me tell you something. When Jesus died on the cross, He rose again on the third day. And when He rose again, He rose in power. Before He went to the cross, He went to Gethsemane, and He said, Lord Jesus, not my will. Or He said, Father, not my will, but your will. Before you die, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. Lord Jesus, not my will, but your will. You have to come to a place that you want Him enough. And someone's getting healed of a gallbladder today, a problem in the gallbladder. You might as well go ahead and receive it. It's the second time that He's told me. So go ahead and receive it right now. We won't even wait. Just receive it right now. But you're going to have to come to a place that you'd make a decision that you want Jesus and everything that He is above everything. And at that point, you'll have to make a decision to say, not my will, but yours, regardless what it takes. If it takes me to the deep Amazon jungle, then whatever it takes, I want your will and only your will. That's what you have to decide. Then you can start that process. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, before Paul had said this about the grace that's been given to everyone, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, and each one has been dealt a measure of faith for their particular calling. None of them are left out. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has been delivered that measure of faith to operate in that calling, the grace to operate in that calling. He said in verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, when I began to meditate on these verses originally, one thing that I noticed was that there was a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if there's one thing I want, as much as I like good and acceptable, I would rather be walking in the perfect will of God as much as I can. And right now, this moment, this morning, I'm walking in the perfect will of God to the extent that I am able at this point. Now, I'm not walking to the extent that He has for me, but I'm walking to the extent that I can, to the extent that I have died to the things of the world, and to the extent that I've been transformed out of the things of the world. That's the extent that I'm walking in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And there may be some areas that I'm walking in the perfect will of God, and other areas that I'm walking in good and acceptable, but unless I begin to do something else to change where I'm at, I will stay where I'm at right now for the rest of my life. Brother Hagin said, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ told him that most ministers of the gospel enter heaven only beginning in their first phase of ministry. Now, when Jesus comes to you and tells you that, like He did him, it gets your attention. If most ministers behind the pulpit that are feeding us and guiding us are in that kind of shape, where does that put us sheep? But Paul said this. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And first of all, before we go into that, he said, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And another thing that I noticed, he said, to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That nobody will have to ask if you're a prophet. Nobody will have to ask if you're an evangelist. You won't have to tell anybody in your letters that you're a prophet. You won't have to tell anybody in your letters that you're an evangelist. It'll be proven what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The fruit will be there. See, we're called as fruit producers. It's all right to pick the fruit for the time being, but at some point, you've got to make a decision whether you want to become an apple tree or not. So you can go the rest of your life picking the fruit off the tree, or you can stop and make a decision where you're at, quit moving from church to church, place to place, anchor yourself beside the running waters, and become that tree that He's planted at some point if you want to. But you have to make the decision. See, you made the decision whether you wanted to be saved or not. You made the decision. He died for you. You didn't have any choice in that. He loved you first and died for you, but you made the choice whether you wanted Jesus of the world. And so then the kingdom of God is full of decisions. It's not something by the grace of God that's just going to fall on your lap and that's it. You get to make the decisions on whether you want to stay where you're at right now or move on into Him. Whether you want to stay where you're at in the prosperity that you're walking in right now or whether you want to move into more prosperity. I don't know about you, but I like what Paul told the Philippians. He said, I'm just paraphrasing, okay? I do that sometimes, but it's in the Word of God. He said, I appreciate that gift that you've given to me. You know, I appreciate that gift that you've given to me this morning. But you know what I joy in much more? Is that fruit that's laid up to your account in heaven. And that's what he said. So you that are entrepreneurs and you that want to walk out of where you're at, what do you want more money for? Let me ask you that. What do you want more money for? Have you thought of that? Well, if Jesus come to you one period of 9 months of where you were praying and fasting for 9 months solid, and He came to you and He said, well, what do you want more anointing for? You know, you go before Him, Jesus, I've got to have more anointing. I can't stay like this. I can't keep the ministry like this. This can't work this way. I've got to have more anointing. And He comes to you one day and He says, what for? What are you going to say? You think you got the answer? Well, it happens to you if you have the answer. Left me speechless. I knew before you asked me. You want an increase? You called as an entrepreneur and you want an increase? What do you want it for? What's your motive? To the last song that we've done. I didn't think I would forget the title, but it's escaping me. Holy and Anointed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Lift your hands to heaven. Begin to worship God in your own words. Begin to worship Him in your own words. Get to know Him. You know, thank Him for your salvation. Tell Him you love Him and appreciate the salvation that's been delivered unto you. All the peace that's been delivered unto you. Worship Him.
Let's do that again. Just that day.
someone's been having problems in your lower back, up to the top midsection of the back, down toward the bottom midsection. The Lord Jesus is wanting to heal you today. My sister, I need for you to step out in the aisle here. Now, if I ask you questions today that you could not answer, or maybe you felt like it put you on the spot, if you will just stick with me, the next three services will bring you out of where you're at. You'll see the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in a message like we're going to preach. You'll see it if you'll just stick with me. Lift your hands, close your eyes. The anointing of the Lord is here for healing in your body today.